Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, we have Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Doing well.
All right.
And we have to bring up a subject we mentioned the other day, but it looks like it's going to be around for a while. And that has to do with the Navalny death.
Yeah.
And, but we shouldn't have to worry about it. You know, I made the other day, I make a little bit of comparison to the Kennedy, because instantaneously, it was all over.
Yeah.
We knew who did it,
Putin
and
did
he
it.
Was killed.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Yeah.
And this is almost like this yesterday, the other day, when it was discovered that Navalny was killed or died. And everybody had the answers. Our government announced it. The media announced it.
Yeah.
A few people hesitated. But my thoughts were, you know, not picking a side and deciding who's telling the truth here, but I ask a question, when are we going to see an honest autopsy?
Yeah.
And who benefits? Because the Kennedy thing, there was no honest autopsy, and when they finally got an honest person to look into it, oh, they find out that all the material's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So you can't trust the governments. That's news for everybody. Yeah. You have to be careful about that. But you know, this was the thing. But this has ramification, because they have to think up what to do and who to blame and whose bombs you know, should fall and who should pay for this. But it almost seems like they have a plan. They have it written down. Okay, when we get them, A, B, C, D. You know, this is what's going to happen. But the problem is we don't know that. And it's so easy because it turns out, I think it turns into a political football. Whose benefit it is to blame Putin.
Yeah.
The more and the worse it sounds for him, that would fit the scenario of some people. But others might say, well, maybe there's somebody else doing it for ulterior motives. You know, that's been known to happen quite a few times. So there'll be some more investigations. But it's amazing how quickly the gang in the world just got together and they knew all the answers. Well, I might not know the answers, but I know one answer is that if you're not sure, you shouldn't be acting upon it.
Yeah. Well, what inspired us to talk about this, if you put it up, this is an article from Michel Chosudovsky, who is a Canadian professor. He's actually reprinting on his Substack an article written by Peter Koenig, who was a senior economist at the World Bank and the World Health Organization, and now I think is a private analyst. And he wrote this piece, Navalny's Death, a Western-instigated false flag? And so we wonder about that too. And as you say, Dr. Paul, do we know who did it? No, if anyone did it. Maybe he took the shot. Maybe that's what did it. But anyway, do we know? We don't know. Could Putin have done it? Of course he could have. The guy's up in Siberia in jail. We don't have any illusions that any world leader is capable of killing. We know that certainly ours are capable of killing. So all those are possibilities. We don't know. Like you say, unlike Biden and his people who had certainty the moment it happened that Putin was up there with a gun in his hand, we don't know. But it is interesting to take a look at the means, the motive, the capability, the cui bono, who benefits from this, and ask a question, well, who would benefit? Here's some couple of things from the article. Here's the first clip. This is what Koenig writes. Killing Navalny, a lawyer and President Putin's strongest adversary, would not be beyond Western secret services just to strike at Vladimir Putin. Navalny's death was announced on the 16th. He was 47. That's possible motive to make Putin look bad. Let's do the next one. Washington and the EU surely have their people infiltrated in the Kremlin and other high security places. Navalny was imprisoned in the K3 penal colony north of the Arctic Circle, located in the Yamalo-Nenets region, about 1,900 kilometers northeast of Moscow. So he's way up there in the Arctic Circle, locked away, locked out of sight. I'm sure it's not a fun place to be.
And there wasn't even any accusations like an insurrection or anything that, you know. But he was put away, and even that probably didn't justify understanding what was going on or what was happening. Maybe he was pretty old-fashioned and actually believed he could speak out and criticize our government, which is probably a little bit naive in our country.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be we would. But even now, though, if you take a position, well, I mean, we got to the point where we could even, as physicians, take a different position on medicine, on the treatment of COVID, or you were considered, you know, a treasonous person. You're taking on the government. And, of course, there's always another group that has influence, and that is, like, on the COVID, it was the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And these other things where they talk about keeping activity going, it's the militarism, the principle of militarism, plus the military-industrial complex. So they don't have, they probably say, well, we don't know either, but we don't really care. And we're not going to be guilty. We won't do it. And they hide behind it. And all of a sudden it happens. And about three or four groups say, victory, victory. We will have a big best year next year.
Yeah.
And immediately they started talking about how they're going to respond militarily.
And, you know, the question is always, as we say, is motive. What would be the motive for Putin to have killed him right after the Tucker Carlson interview, which we talked about on Monday, got worldwide dissemination? Probably a quarter of a billion, if not more, people viewed it, the most watched interview of all time. Regardless of how you think he came out, he was given that platform. So why right after that would he do that? And why right, and actually put on the next clip, because the other thing is right in advance. So go to the next one if you can. So this is from the article. Koenig said, why would he kill an adversary who's safely locked away in a prison in Siberia, 2,000 kilometers north of the Kremlin? Makes no sense. That's true. Go to the next one. Now, the other issue is the Munich Security Conference. We talked about it a little bit. And Koenig writes that it makes even less sense to have this presumed murder committed on the very day when the Munich Security Conference opened its doors to a plethora of the rich and famous, politicians with names famous or infamous, like Anthony Blinken, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, all of these people showing up. Why would you do it exactly at that point if you're Putin? Now, if, as he's suggesting, might be possible, if it was Western intelligence services of any sort, well, why would they do it then? Well, you've got the interview with Tucker. You also have the fact that Avdiivka fell, major city in eastern Ukraine, and they said it would never fall. It fell to Russia. So change the subject. We're not talking about the failure in Ukraine on the part of the West. Now we're talking about Navalny. So who knows? There's a lot to chew on, I think.
Yeah, and I see in this article, there wasn't a direct accusation, but the subject came up of WEF Klaus Schwab as an individual.
Maybe he did it.
as an individual. But he had connections to these groups.
So
maybe he was a unifier. But anyway, I was thinking if somebody asked them a question like that, if they don't want to answer, say, oh, next question.
Yeah.
we're not going to answer this. Because it's a common practice. It's an ancient tradition. Back in the kings and the pharaohs, they did a little bit of this stuff.
Yeah.
Kill the leaders. But here we are more sophisticated with our propaganda and our lying apparatus that they have a greater tool because they pretend that the people are in charge, that we have democracy and we're preserving democracy, that they have to convince the people more than just another king or two.
Yeah.
That's what they are aiming for. And they do a pretty good job of that. And I, you know, keep saying I was marveled at how quickly the Kennedy murder was solved.
Yeah.
You know,
quote unquote.
For a day, you know.
Well, let's do, I'm sorry.
No, no problem.
Let's do the last one on this just to kind of close it out. Again, we don't know what happened, but there's a lot of funny business going on here. This is Koenig writes again. absurdity abounds. During comments on reports of Navalny's death, President Joe Biden called on Congress to pass that $95 billion aid package. Well, there's another reason. They needed something. Remember, that was about a week ago when the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee said, there's a national security threat from Russia, you know. We haven't heard anything about that for days now. And so this was also very convenient, the Navalny death, because it gave them yet another reason to say, we've got to pass that. You can actually put that back up if you don't mind. We've got to pass this money now. See, he's on a killing rampage. So there's another issue as well. And so this is the final quote from the Koenig that we wanted to put up. It looks like Navalny's death was perfectly planned. So perfectly, it sounds and looks almost naive to believe President Putin would choose such a moment in time, the Munich Security Conference, to get rid of his opposition leader. We don't know. Again, he's capable of it. But would he do such a thing? Who knows? Nevertheless, when in doubt, what do you do? Put on the next one, and I'll throw it over to you, Dr. Paul. Put on sanctions. Biden announces he'll impose major sanctions on Russia over Navalny's death.
You know, there were a few stories sneaked out into the media that said these sanctions might not be working real well.
Oh, no.
So they have to reinforce all this idea, put sanctions on them. And, of course, it is effective in hurting the people who put them on. Those things generally backfire. And when you're overly generous with sanctions, you know, and you're not in the middle of a crisis like this on a politician being killed, but you do it for economic reasons and economic punishment, you know, it's always designed, and unfortunately we have too many Republicans that like sanctions,
yeah,
too, that this will backfire on them. And I try to get people to think about it. It's your property. It's,
yeah,
your property. It's yours. You should have the right to spend it the way you want. Well, the government takes a bunch. They spend of it. Yes, a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they shouldn't take it. We should have our money and our ability to spend it. But they go up on these sanctions, protective sanctions especially. If we have a weakening business group,
yeah,
there was a time when the cars really needed help.
Yeah.
And they did it, and the whole thing got worse. And they finally had to back off on it. And the American companies, you know, improved on their quality of their cars.
Yeah.
But sanctions, and I think they're much more sinister than people will admit, because I call it an act of war.
Yeah.
I was thinking that if we have sanctions, they're equivalent to blockades, they're sophisticated blockades. So if somebody started blockading our country, just think sanctions and protectionism was a big item in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, North against the South, and yet they were doing this. But no, it's an economic thing that it's because they don't understand, you know, what free markets are like. People want to influence the government for benefits without the hard work of producing a better product. So that happens and it backfires. And so we were sort of joking about this. So Biden says now he'll impose sanctions on Russia over the Navalny's death.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure, that's going to really help, right?
I mean, sanctions have never worked, ever. They don't work. They're well known to not work. They don't force leaders to change their tune. All they do is punish citizens. But my first thought when I saw this is, what is left to sanction? The U.S. has sanctioned literally everything about Russia. What else is there left to sanction? What are they going to sanction? It's almost funny. But, you know, it's one thing, Dr. Paul, to sanction a country like Iraq or Syria, where you can do some damage to their economy. And we've done a lot of damage to Libya and Syria and these small countries. But when you try to sanction continually a peer rival like Russia, it didn't cause them to fold up their tents and say, we give up, you know, we'll do what you want. They said, okay, well, we'll trade with China and India.
Yeah.
Don't want to trade with us, we'll sell our oil. Yeah. Actually, I don't have the article, but I just had an article. Yes, I think it was Wall Street Journal. That Russia earned record profits on oil sales. Despite all the sanctions, they just sold them all to India. And then India kind of rejiggers them, makes some gas, whatever, and sells them back to the EU. They paid twice the price. So they're actually making a fortune on these sanctions. They don't work. But I just saw that the EU was going to do a 13th round of sanctions.
It's because they have nothing left, because the little bit they understand about the free market and sound money, they're too impatient, and it's a lot easier, and it's not well directed, because if you're in the military business or if you're in some other business, I want help now. Yeah. You know? So out of desperation, and then there's a vacuum out there. These companies are having trouble because of too much sanctioning on our business people and messing up the economy through the monetary system. They don't deal with it. They want to avoid it. That's a bigger deal. And besides, we have a pretty good group of people who benefit from some of that mucking around.
That's true.
So they're dependent on it. So it's a shame, but it's something usually very basic that causes it and it could be the solution. To me, it's understanding how beneficial markets are, how beneficial sound money is to everybody, and we should protect that and explain. People need to understand, that makes sense, but right now it's going to be a reaction, more sanctions.
More sanctions, that'll work. Well, speaking of the EU, in their divine wisdom, they've thrown literally everything but the kitchen sink into the war with Russia through Ukraine. I saw that Denmark announced, we're going to send the entirety of our remaining ammunition to Ukraine. They're going to basically everything. Just put everything on a truck. So what does that tell you? They've given everything they can, yet they still are losing. Russia is winning the war. It's pretty obvious even in the mainstream media now. So what do they do after following the U.S. into a war with Russia and losing everything, deindustrializing, losing the Nord Stream, losing all their trade? Economies are in recession or worse, especially Germany, the former powerhouse of Europe, which was overtaken by Russia as the number one economy in Europe because of this. They followed the U.S. literally into hell and lost everything. So what do? Put up the next clip. They're going to follow the U.S. and declare war on the Houthis. Now here's Ursula von der Leyen. She is the president of the European Commission, unelected, by the way. She says she's announcing that the EU is going to launch a naval force operation, Aspides, which is going to work in the Red Sea. She says, I welcome today's decision to launch the EU naval force operation, Aspides. Europe will ensure freedom of navigation in the Red Sea, working alongside our international partners. Beyond crisis response, it's a step towards a stronger European presence at sea to protect our European interests.
See, this is all mixed in with the decline of the empire. Because when the empire was automatic and everybody took it for 100% granted that they'll be there for a while, but now we're losing credibility on our foreign policy and our financial system situation because there are others wanting to compete, have the notion that dare to compete with our reserve currency in the world and let the market help pick it. So that contributes to the credibility, and they're seeking credibility by saying the Houthis now start warning the Europeans. The Europeans warning each other, and it was easy to get Russia. But as soon as you get a guy like Trump come along, he says enough. He might not have to have our position, but he says, why are we doing this? You're rocking the apple cart. Yeah. I mean, and all those apples we're protecting, they're going to all roll out.
Yeah.
So he goes on, but that is a big thing. So in a way, this fussing and fuming, I think, is part of the evidence that the current system is fracturing. And again, and we as a great power is being diminished.
Yeah, and as it fractures, they keep doing the things that make it fracture, Well, here's a response from the Houthis. Now, the Houthis, they've been bombed however many times by the U.S. and the U.K., yet they haven't backed off. In fact, earlier this week, on one day, they sunk a British ship and they hit two American cargo ships. They're not deterred. So here's a piece from The Cradle, which we saw via Zero Hedge. The Houthis are responding to the Europeans launching a naval operation against them, saying, do not play with fire. Yemen warns EU as Brussels embarks on a Red Sea mission. Now go to the next one. Here is a spokesman for the Houthis. A high-ranking Yemeni official has warned the EU against supporting the American devil to protect Israel following the formal launch of the naval mission. Quote, "For Europeans, do not play with fire. Take a lesson from Britain." Muhammad Ali al-Houthi, a senior member of Yemen's Supreme Political Council, said via social media, "Take a lesson from Britain." Now let's look at this first clip, because this is a British flag tanker in the Red Sea. They thought they could take on, the Houthis. Didn't turn out too well. You might want to put your earpiece in, although you don't really need to hear it, but this is what happened when the British ship went through the Straits of Aden. Isn't that crazy?
Dramatic.
Dozens of rounds of bombing and they're not deterred. So they'll probably keep doing the same thing, right?
Well, you know, there's a bit of a betting game going on here, because whether it's the Houthis or the Ukrainians or some other group that we sign up to do the fighting and we'll do the financing, and we join NATO and say everybody's supposed to join in. Then you get a guy like Trump. He says, look, you guys don't even pay, and we don't want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
But the betting game is, and it's not automatic, because Trump sounds very serious. If we were in there and you get into trouble, we're not going to come and help you.
Yeah.
And I happen to not accept that automatically, because the other side might not either, because they can't do much about it. They'll say, well, they can't really compete, so they go ahead and do the things that we tell them not to do, and lo and behold, there is a war. Unfortunately, the people who control behind the scenes, all the programs and the spending of money, they're not going to let these people go. It means we're all going down together.
Yeah, like that ship.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, let's skip ahead to your favorite politician, Nancy Pelosi. That darn old Pelosi. She made the news yesterday. She was on with Jen Psaki, who people will remember was a spokesperson for Obama. Put on that next, skip ahead and go to the Pelosi clip. Go forward. So watch, Pelosi goes on unhinged rant about Trump being blackmailed by Putin. Here we go again. He's got something on him. He's doing Putin's bidding. Now go forward to that tweet, but I'm going to be able to read. Go to the clip. Yeah, but I want to be able to read Michael Tracy. So Michael Tracy, who we know, he was in the studio here interviewing you. He's a very smart guy, in my opinion. I don't always agree with him, but he's very smart and very astute. So here's what he said about it. We're going to listen to the clip, and I'll warn our audience, please be patient. It's a longer clip than we usually play. But Michael Tracy says, amazingly, this question is asked like the Mueller report never happened, and there weren't endless harried efforts to dig up anything that could implicate Trump financially with Russia. Down the memory hole it goes. They want everyone stuck in a perpetual 2016 propaganda vortex. So let's listen to Pelosi. I think she may be a bit past her prime, Dr. Paul. Let's listen to what she has to say.
Can't give it up.
What do you think? We're all wondering this question, Speaker Pelosi. What do you think Putin has on him? I mean, it sure seems like something, as you've said a few times, given that he refuses to criticize him, that he seems to be a fanboy of him. Are you worried
at all? Well, during the Mueller...
Go ahead, sorry, go ahead.
Well, first of all, we must be sure that he does not step one foot into the White House, not as president or not as anything. He has brought disgrace to the White House, to these presidents. I talked about George Washington. It's also President's Week for Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln died, it was embroidered in his coat that night at that theater, one country, one destiny. And he gave his life to unify our country. And now we have someone who had the honor of serving in the White House, didn't consider it an honor, didn't consider his oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution. And on this week, speaking out the way he did about Navalny shows you that he is a person without values. He looks like he's going to be a person without dollars either, but the values are what concern us.
Yes, the dollars.
So I don't know what he has on him, but I think it's probably financial. I think it's probably financial, either something financial he has on him or something on the come.
So what is your reaction to that?
Everything is fear. As long as we can scare them, they'll do what she wants.
Yeah.
That is just horrible. But I also thought, listening to, unfortunately, I heard this one before.
Oh, okay. So I didn't get this.
but it was terrible to have to listen to it again.
You know what got me is that Pelosi and her ilk, they're always talking about our democracy, our democracy. We got to save our democracy. Now, she said, we must be sure that he does not step one foot into the White House as president. Well, who's we? What does that mean? Does that mean it doesn't matter how people vote? He won't be allowed to go in? It sounds to me like she's undermining democracy.
She and Obama.
Yeah.
But the big thing here, she's basing all this, had nothing to do with what Trump might do. What if Trump has a perfect record where they can prove, so to speak, that we would have more peace and more freedom under Trump? I mean, that's beside the point. She doesn't even care about that. She is driven by uncontrollable hate.
Yeah.
But the whole side is doing that. And they also have this belief that this has been cited, I think, by the authoritarians of the West, of the worst reputation. Just lie to him and lie to him. After a while, it will become the truth. So constant lying. Yeah. And she never quits.
Never
and
quits.
It's always in noble terms.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, as far as she's concerned, she sees herself as the best constitutionalist that ever went through Congress. And I keep wondering if I could look into her brain. And she said, but I had trouble finding.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder what her brain is telling her. I really am the best.
Yeah.
Or is she brainwashed?
Yeah.
Probably doesn't matter because the people suffer from it. But it's in a way trying to understand these people. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, let's end on a high note, Dr. Paul. And this is, I think, a positive story. If we can put this last one. This is your baby. You're the expert on this. But I'll just read the headline. New study finds exercise twice as effective at treating depression than antidepressant drugs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I could be a little bit facetious and say, why did it take them that long to read my position on this? Why my patients heard about it?
Yeah.
Because it may be overly so, but then again, when you don't have a lot to offer, or even if somebody's very sick, one thing is mobilization. And I think exercise is fantastic. Besides, the competition motivates me too, because the competition is the people who pass out psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
And the evidence, you and I have talked about this on the air, is that so many times when there are mass shootings in teenagers and high school and even colleges, they're on these psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
And this, you talk about malpractice. There's a lot of malpractice because they're misrepresented. And this is not like it's brand new.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you knew, I invented this principle. You know, it's been around for a long, long time that exercise is good. And it's something that I think people practice and they don't realize it. Sometimes maybe they might be tired sitting around and bored or something. So I think I'll go out and get some sunshine.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it is a real shame, but I am a strong believer that exercise is, you know, there are days when I don't walk as well as other days, and I'm really disappointed because over the years, I think from the first time we met, I would always walk like I got my walk in today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not the answer to diseases, but it sure is a help to it, and you're avoiding make your disease worse by taking some of the psychiatric drugs that they're going to give you for depression.
Yeah, I remember one of the early times they came down to visit you when we were talking about starting the Institute, and you took me over to the Dow Woods and said, let's take a little walk, and you did both loops, and I was pretty tired. It's a good couple miles, And you said, well, I'll let you off easy. I usually do two loops of both. And I said, I'm glad you let me off easy, because I wasn't used to that kind of walking back then.
Well, but I think if people practice it, they'll say they feel better when they walk, even though when they start, they say, I don't feel like doing this today.
It's hard to feel motivated.
You feel better afterwards, and it gets to be a healthy habit.
Now, do you think that goes well with vitamins as well? You know, the combination? A lot of people say B vitamins are good for you.
I'm all for that, but sometimes there's over promotion of the wrong things, and it's hard to turn down some of them because I believe so much in nutrition. But I want to get the nutrition from natural sources the best you can.
Yeah, rather than a pill.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's good news. I'm going to go for a walk after we're done here. Actually, I got my family. We're going to pull some weeds, so that's even better exercise. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. It looks like we're at about a little over 1,000 people watching us live. Please hit like. And I did notice the other day that we broke 350,000 subscribers on our channel here on Rumble. We're grateful to Rumble, but we're also especially grateful for you for following us and subscribing. Let's help us bump it up to 400,000. That would be terrific. But thanks very much for watching up to over here.
Very good. That's good news that we're still gathering more individuals that have an incentive to find out what we're talking about. Because most of the time when people get converted to or get a clear understanding of what true liberty is all about, the first thing is they're impressed. That's not complicated. I loved it when a college student would come up and they would say, you know, I get it, but it's not complicated. It's just common sense. And it is. It's really common sense. And there are normal accidents. The higher law commands it. You're in charge. You're in charge to be a free person. But the one part, and I always was impressed that I could get an applause from the college kids when I say, this is good. Yes, you could do what you want. It's up to you, as long as you don't hurt people. And if you make a mistake and things don't work out quite so well, you have no right to go to the government and get your neighbor to force it on you. That doesn't work. And that the responsibility thing, they never went, oh no, do we have to list the responsibility? No, it was understood that if you want your freedom, and a lot of there, I imagine those audience were filled with a lot of people who had different reasons why they wanted their personal freedom. but that wasn't the program. Yeah. The program was doing the choices, making the choices, and having the responsibility if you make a mistake. And it's very simple. You don't hurt other people. You don't lie to other people. You don't kill people. Wow, peaceful world and that prosperous. And that is to be our goal. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.